Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild pervitude, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, hissy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. This storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome, everybody. This is American Renegade. I'm your host, Art Underground. It is April 30th, last day of the month. Where's my sound check? Wow. Why is everything's lagging really behind today? There it is. Okay, everything's just kind of lagging behind. Anyway, it is the last day of April. Tomorrow's payday for a lot of you folks.
And it ain't a payday for a lot of you other folks.
I don't mean to make light of it. I know it's not funny, but it would be if it weren't so damn sad. See, that's the thing. Before we get started this evening, I had an interesting evening, to say the least. Our local talk radio station over here in Augusta, you've heard me mention it before, has a local host who's on every Monday through Friday. His name is Austin Rhodes. And sometimes he just gets on my last damn nerve. And today, I'd had enough. This is the kind of guy, he's what I call a radio Rambo. The guy will get on there and he will run his mouth. And he will be offensive. He's not vulgarly offensive, but he is offensive in other ways. And what I'm talking to you about is the hypocrisy sometimes of this guy is just sickening. It's enough to turn your stomach. I see Hamstrap just popped in the chat room. Now, Hamstrap remembers me from back several years back. And I don't know if he's ever caught the various instances where I've received threats or people want to talk smack, and I would actually just, well, here, you want to talk smack? Here's my address. Come knock on my door. And I've done that live, going all the way back when I first started doing this in 2009. But this guy over here in Augusta, the local talk radio celebrity, he'll say things like, you do that, blah, 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 you be lucky, you won't walk away with a black eye. But yet, the moment you say something like that to him, I will call the cops on you. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Big tough guy want to make all these, you know, talk all this big badass bullshit. But yet, when somebody does it with you, you want to turn into a little bitch and call the cops. See, me, I'm not like that. I live out in the country. Out here, we ain't got no 911. Because we dial 911, by the time they get out here, we're already dead. So we don't got no 911 where I live. We just take care of our own. And, you know, you go back to my granddaddy's day and my mama's younger days, you go out here in these woods out back here behind my house, there's a lot of unmarked graves out there. That's how they used to deal with things around these parts. Not saying that I'd do that today, but, you know, that's how, you know, that's been the basic attitude around here. We do not dial 911. We just don't do it. We're so far out in the country that by the time 911 ever got here, we'd be dead. So we have to deal with things on our own. But this guy lives right in the city, and he'll talk one day about giving somebody a black eye. I'll punch you in your stupid face. Was that some 10-year-old talk? But one day he'll talk like, and the next day, I'll call the cops on you. What kind of little bitch are you? Well, today he just pushed my button for the just, I don't know how many times this guy has just said things and just made my butt cheeks ripple. You know what I'm saying? So I called him up live on air and told him, you know, because he talked about, if you ain't wearing a mask when you go out, you're just a butthead. You're rude. You're this, you're that, you're the other. It's so easy. Why don't you do it? He uses his radio platform to run his mouth. Insult people, call people names. And this is one of the problems I have with people like Rush Limbaugh. There's no reason to call Adam Schiff pencil neck. There's no reason to call Mitch McConnell turtle. There's no reason to call Hillary Clinton Hillary Clitless. There's no reason for this. That is immature. It's ignorant, and it shows a lack of ability to effectively communicate. It shows a lack of the ability to, as an adult would, address an issue without being over the top, ridiculous, obnoxious. You don't hear me talk like that. I might call somebody an idiot, but her name ain't Hitlery, it's Hillary. It's not Killery, it's Hillary. I may not like the woman. I may think she's an ass at times. I may think she's a globalist, elitist little bitch. But there's no reason to call her silly-ass damn names. That's just ridiculous. But that's what this guy does. So today I had my final, you know, that's it. I've had it. So I called him up, and I live on air, I said, I'm going to explain to you, and this is a guy, you know, he seems to think that the Second Amendment reigns supreme, except, no, there's no except in the Second Amendment. You have the right to keep and bear arms, period, end of discussion. What part of shall not be infringed didn't register with you? Okay, so I called him up and I said, I won't wear a mask, period. And I'll tell you why. One, we've got Dr. Robert Redfield, director of CDC, telling us that this thing, you know, is going to be here again come December or come this winter. I'm not about to wear a mask for the next month or two or whatever. Abide by these stupid damn social distancing standards, which are just ridiculous, and then get a few months of relief from it, just have to turn around and wear it again in the wintertime. If I'm going to do that, I might as well just go ahead and prepare to wear one for the rest of my life, because that thing's going to Factor two, anytime you have a new virus that's introduced into the human population, it's here for life. It's never going away. And factor three, which is tied directly to factor two, is we have the health experts telling us right now that at some point in time, everybody is going to become, is going to be exposed and will be infected, whether you get sick or not. And me personally, I would much rather get it done, get it over with, get it the hell out of the damn way, and then I don't have to worry about it anymore. And you can, you know, people want to, you, well, look at over there in Sweden. Look how many people they got dead and blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, but here's the thing. Virtually their entire population has now been exposed. So going forward, they will have developed herd immunity so that the next time this bad boy rears its ugly head, they're not going to have to worry about it. They'll be able to say, herd immunity, we're okay. See the logic here? So I'm not going to wear a damn mask, and I don't care. And, you know, he's like, if I see you in a store, he's talking, you know, not naming anybody because he said this early on in the broadcast. Well, if I see somebody in a store and they ain't wearing a mask, I'm going to walk up and wear them and ask them, where's your mask? Well, Austin, in a case like that, you might be lucky if you don't walk away with a black eye, because you get my face like that, and I'm liable to knock your little bitch ass out. I'm older than you, but I'll kick your young puppy ass. I don't care. I'm the kind of guy that I'm not going to play these games. You ain't getting up in my face and think, no, I'm going to jail, you going to the hospital. It's that simple. I don't care. Now you call 911 on me, you little bitch. Anyway, got to start having chicken pox parties, Corona beer optional. Absolutely, I love it. I love it. That's Hame strapped in the chat room. Anyway, let's get on with it. Okay, so first on the agenda tonight. Oh, and here's something else. If have time later in the broadcast, I laid down, took a nap, and when I woke up, I saw this article here. Armed protesters demonstrate against COVID-19 lockdown at Michigan. Well, what actually happened was a bunch of these protesters, and one of them, I'm looking at him, bald head, burly beard, got a black sweatshirt on, and he's got a big old fat green pot leaf on his sweatshirt. But what happened was they actually marched into the Michigan Capitol building, armed, protesting, and this was as lawmakers were debating the governor's intent or request to extend her emergency powers. If we have time, I'll get into that a little bit later on. But first up, have the chances of food shortages just gone up? I think it's a very strong possibility. Last week, I was talking about Smithfield Foods, the United States' largest pork producer. In fact, actually, they're the world's largest pork producer. And how they had to shut down their Sioux Falls, Idaho processing plant because of some 200-something-odd, whatever it was, confirmed cases of the COVID-19, which accounted for over half of the state's cases at that time. Which, you know, that's kind of scary when you think about, you know, half of your state's positives are from one processing plant. That's scary. I talked about Chesterfield County, where poultry farmers were having to euthanize their flocks
because of a new avian flu outbreak. Talked about the beef processing plants that were having to shut down various locations around the country. Talked about farmers having to plow over their fields because they can't sell their crops. And a new strain of African swine flu that's just popped up in the pig farm, the pig herds over in China. But now, this article that came out just a few days ago, where Tyson Foods, there was a big full-page spread in the New York Times back, what was that, back Sunday, just this past Sunday, where they were warning the food chain is breaking, it's collapsing, it's falling apart. Now, John Tyson, chairman of the board of Tyson Foods, wrote in a letter published in, as an advertisement, said, quote, as pork, beef, and chicken plants are being forced to close, even for short periods of time, millions of pounds of meat will disappear from the supply chain. As a result, there will be limited supplies of our product available in stores until we're able to reopen our facilities that are currently closed. Now, Tyson is based out of Arkansas, and you can, interestingly enough, Tyson and the Clinton family go back to the good old days when Clinton was governor, and there was some little hanky-dankies going on back there between the Tyson family and the Clinton couple when Clinton was governor, around the same time that Barry Seal was doing the piloting for Bill Clinton, helping to run guns and all of that stuff. But Tyson also wrote that millions of animals, chickens, pigs, and cattle will be depopulated because of the closure of our processing facilities. The food supply chain is a critical industry. This, according to a spokesperson for the USDA. Let me see here. Doesn't say who the spokesperson with the U.S. Department of Agriculture in a statement emailed to Time that the USDA, together with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, will work to ensure the food supply chain remains safe and secure. Quote, the food supply chain is a critical industry in the United States, and Secretary Perdue fully recognizes the need to keep workers and inspectors safe during the COVID-19 national emergency. USDA recognizes and supports the efforts of private industry and companies to maintain operational status of their facilities while also maintaining the safety, health, and health of their workforce. Now, that brings me to the next article here, which just came out day before yesterday on Tuesday. Also in the New York Times, where a chicken processing company based in Delaware has had to kill 2 million chickens just this month because its workers are falling ill and quarantine orders, and that the action by Allen Harum Foods was the latest example of how food processors are being affected by this virus and is keeping workers away because of illness or quarantine. Meat processors, dairy farmers, and vegetable growers have shuttered plants or dumped products at a time when many Americans are lining up at food banks and facing scarcity at the supermarket. I went to check out one of the local food banks today, and folks, what I saw, I've never seen this ever. And I can remember times when I was homeless going to food banks, never seen anything like this. Mile-long lines of vehicles sitting there for hours waiting to get one lousy box of food. It's crazy. I've just, you know, but don't remember, we had, did I delete it? Oh, tell me I did not delete it. Oh, yes, I deleted it. Oh, well, don't forget, Biden says,
or not Biden, but Bernie Sanders said bread lines aren't that bad. So there's another processing plant that's been shut down. And let me see if I can find... no, that's not it. That's not it. Oh, yeah, here it is. In the midst of all this, chat room, why would you have to kill livestock just because they closed a few plants, just shipped to another plant? I'm gonna get to that in a minute. Workers demand coronavirus protection as Trump orders meatpacking plants to stay open. Trump has again invoked the Defense Preparedness Act to force meatpacking plants and meat processing plants to stay open. But the United Food and Commercial Workers International Union, which represents 1.3 million food and retail workers, responded to that order by stating that if plants are to remain open, then the government must provide access to the federal stockpile of personal protective equipment, or PPE, and they must do daily testing. Well, here is a little bit of a problem with that. And I don't remember if what I did with the article, okay, here's one of the articles. The Obama administration used and did not replenish the nation's emergency stockpile of medical supplies. Go back to the H1N1. Okay? Go back to that, 2009. The Obama administration used massive amounts of PPE. And such as that, and did not replace them. So Trump, and here's the thing, Trump is, it's one thing when you are telling manufacturers that they need to start making masks and such things as that, okay? Now, that's not the same thing as food. If you have workers who do not have the protective gear, and they're in there messing with food, do you see the potential here? is anybody else not, is no one else catching this problem? If you have people... may or may not be infected because you don't know. I've heard talk about, well, it's like 30 days incubation or some kind of crap like it. Whether it's 14 days or 30 days, you can't account for everybody that you've come in contact with over the past couple of weeks to a month. I'm betting the vast majority of them you don't even know. So you don't know who they've come in contact with. So this question, have you come in contact with anyone who's been exposed to COVID-19? Damned if I know. And that's my answer. Damned if I know. I can tell you that the people I've come in contact with that I personally know appear to be healthy, but I don't know who they've come in contact with. You see? So now we're talking food. And you think it's bad enough when you have a salmonella outbreak or E. coli outbreak, you have an E. coli outbreak in the spinach. Remember that a few years back? Salmonella outbreaks in chicken. Remember that several years back? There's a whole major difference here. There's a big difference with this, which is why I'm so glad my freezer is full. My shelves are stocked full. I had to build me a pantry to have a place to put everything. I've got 45-gallon buckets of dry bulk goods out in storage. I don't have to worry about food for a couple of years. I am good, and I live far enough out in the country. I can hunt, I can trap, I can fish. I can forage. My property is covered with wild food growing everywhere. I really don't ever have to go to a grocery store ever again. So I'm not worried about it. Now, as far as the killing of livestock, as Hamestrap mentioned in the chat room, actually, really, you don't have to. You can only ship so much to a plant because at some point there's too much for them to process. So if you have a fourth of your processing plants are shut down, the remaining plants, they can only take so much. And then you're still killing animals. You're still turning over your crops. Well, see, here's how you get around that. You got people like me know how to dress an animal. I'd be more than happy to take a cow or two off your hands. I'd be more than happy to take a hog or two off your hands. Hey, I'll come with my truck, and I got a bunch of cages. We'll throw a whole heap of them chickens in the cages here. I'll bring them home. I'll kill them. I'll dress them out because I know how to actually boil the animal down to a stock, leaving almost nothing left behind. I can render the fat so I can make my own oils and greases and stuff like that. I can process some of the meat and the rest of it, bones and all, cartilage, you name it. I can feed the innards to the dog, and whatever's left, I can render it all the way down to a nice, thick, sticky broth. You know, like a paste or like a syrup texture. It's called a stock. Not a broth, a stock. And I'm sure there's a whole heap of people out there be willing to learn how to do it, too. As far as the milk that they're dumping and the eggs that they're smashing, you know, if you stop this, it's illegal to buy raw milk, and just let us go back to doing what we used to do, farmers won't be dumping milk. They won't be smashing eggs. As far as crops go, hey, I can trade with that farmer. I can take a whole heap of veggies off his hands because I bring them home and dehydrate them bad boys. That's right. See, there's ways around this. You just have to be willing to do it. As far as the tests, yeah, the tests are bogus because the test doesn't tell you if it's COVID-19. It only tells you if you have been exposed to a coronavirus. That's basically all it tells you. It doesn't narrow it down to which one. And that's what I'm exactly. Hamestrap says sell the whole animal. It's exactly what I'm talking about. I'll buy a cow or two. I'll buy a pig or two. I'll buy a goat or two. I'll buy a bunch of chickens. It's not a problem for me. Okay, so next up, article came out in New York Times yesterday. Trump administration's message on reopening continues to be contradictory. Has anybody actually been paying attention to Trump lately? Liberate Michigan, liberate Minnesota, liberate, liberate, liberate. Shame on you, Brian Kemp, and you people in Georgia for opening up too soon. Yay, Texas! Wait a minute. It's like, he is becoming a really good politician, talking out of both sides of his neck. I mean, last week he's chastising Georgia for opening too soon. But then with Texas, great job. What the hell is this? What, everybody's allowed to open but us? I got two words for you, Trump. Not attaboy. And it sure ain't good job. Call 1-800-F-OFF. fill in the blanks. This guy, White House guidelines urge states to retain coronavirus restrictions until they meet certain criteria, but Attorney General William P. Barr is now threatening to sue the states if he deems those White House guidelines urge states to retain coronavirus restrictions until they meet certain criteria, but Attorney General William P. Barr is now threatening to sue them if he deems those limits are too strict. And even as the president talks about opening the country, he's ordered closed to the immigration, even suggesting on Tuesday that flights from Brazil be banned. You know, flights from anywhere should be banned. There should be no crossing the border, period. I don't care if you're coming by plane, train, or automobile. All right? There should be no migration whatsoever. If this is what you claim it is, there should be no one in, no one out. You know, this is why Taiwan has had virtually no problem. They've had a few isolated cases here and there, but nothing really to speak of. Why? Because the instant they heard about this virus in China, it was, boom, lockdown, no one in, no one out. But they didn't shut down their economy either. Yeah, you see how that works? So, I mean, my thing is, you know what? Mr. and Mrs. America, you need to stop complying. You need to say, hell damn no. Hell to the no. Kiss my ass. Go pound sand. Whatever your favorite phrase is when you want to tell somebody, I will not. And again, you know, I've said it before. I see Bringing It Boy just popped in the chat room. Hey, guys. You know, I've said before, we don't have to have violence. We don't necessarily need blood in the streets, folks. I don't remember who said it, but someone once said that government does not need to be faced with absolute violence. The very threat, the potential that violence is a strong possibility is enough to move government in the right way, in the right direction. So we don't necessarily, I mean, you know, I'm all about armed protest. You better damn believe it. But violence is only a last resort. And that should only happen if the military and police in force move against the people aggressively. That's the only time violence should ever be taken, violent act should ever be taken on the part of the people themselves. But if the government actually believes that the possibility of a violent armed revolution is like a strong possibility, now you got their attention, because that's the last thing they want. And we may be seeing, you know, if this continues, especially. Can you imagine states like Georgia and all that are now starting to reopen? Go back to work. Let's say for the sake of argument, we all of a sudden see an uptick in positive cases. And they decide to lock down the states again. I wonder how well that's going to go over. Would that be what it takes to get the people to finally step up and say enough is enough? your entire First Amendment. You know, people are, the Second Amendment's under assault, the Second Amendment is under assault, the Second Amendment is under assault, but never a word about the First Amendment. I've said this before, I can take you all the way back to about 1989, 1990. When doing the rainbow gatherings, and I'm not talking about Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition or any of that faggot crap. I'm talking about the Rainbow Family of Living Light, which was a hippie movement that grew out of Woodstock. That's where it finds its roots. The very first gathering, it wasn't called a gathering back then. It was just a bunch of, you know, few hundred hippies camped out in Colorado. And there was the first, that was the beginning of the rainbow gatherings. But I told people back then, when they first started coming out with permits to gather, I said right then, direct violation of First Amendment, the right to peaceably assemble. And I warned people then, if you don't stand up, the next thing they're going to go after is going to be your right to free speech. Sure enough, in the early 2000s, we started hearing about free speech zones. I said then, if you allow this, it's not going to be long before we start seeing the restrictions on the freedom of religion. Sure enough, late, right around 2009, 2010, we started hearing about homes being, you know, who were having Bible studies in their homes out in California. They were being targeted by police, being told, you're not a church, you can't have Bible study here. Huge crosses along the side of the road that people put up on their private property were being told to take them down or cover them up. I'm not a Christian. I could care less what you do. And while I may not believe the same way you do, I believe in a creator. I just don't necessarily believe the way you do. But I will stand and defend your right to believe it. And I said then, if people allow this, it's not going to be long before you'll see the freedom of press under attack. And sure enough, with this big Facebook push and all of this, we began to see people being censored, people being shut down for speaking their mind, simply for disagreeing. And now the entire First Amendment is under assault. But yet, no one really wants to talk about this. You're being told you can't worship because the COVID-19 virus will kill you. Again, at some point in time, everybody is going to be exposed to this virus. And I was talking to a fella today. I went just today. I wanted to see for myself. I wished I'd taken my camera, but I just wanted to see for myself what the food lines were looking like, what the food banks were doing. So I went next county over, and I, of course, I had to jump online to find out where it was, because I don't know. I don't go to food banks. So I had to go look. So I jumped online. I looked up to find out where it was at. Okay, I know where it's at. So I drove over there, jumped in my truck, and took me a drive. And I drove over there, and I'm telling you, it was a mile long of cars. Well, it was a mile long straight stretch of road, and I couldn't see the end of the cars. How long that line really went, I don't know. But I got to talking to one of the fellows there. He had his son with him. Have you ever used a food line before, a food bank before? No, sir, never. This is the first time I've ever been to one. How long have you been out of work? Almost 2 months. So you're hurting for groceries? Yes, sir. I mean, it broke my heart to see this. I'd never seen nothing like this. This is insane. But we were talking about this, and, you know, this, you know, this has gotten to the point to where it's almost like there's no end in sight. Where is the relief? I asked him if he got his $1,200 check plus his $500 for his son. He said he ain't seen a penny. And I bet you I talked to 24 people today. I parked my truck and I got out and I walked the line just talking to random picking people and talking to them. Not a one of them. I think I did like every sixth vehicle, I think it was. Not a one of them has seen a penny from any of this stimulus. And many of them said this is the first time they've ever been to a food bank. And all of them had the same opinion about these lockdown orders and stay home orders. It's crazy. And they're fed up, but they're not fed up to the point that they're ready to march. And here again, we come back to, I've said it before and I'll say it again, until people are ready to march on state capitals and say, no, kiss my damn ass, it's going to continue. And no state so far, out of all the states that are lifting their restrictions, not one state has met the 14-day drop in cases that the White House has set forward as the milestone for being able to reopen. Not one. Not one. Because the White House has said you need to have 14 days of decreased numbers, declining cases, in order to go to phase one of reopening. Of all the states, and I think this article doesn't say how many states, it just says a handful of states. But of all the states that have begun to reopen, not a one of them has met that first threshold. We've got Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. There was a picture, a video came out last week. I believe it was the west side of Chicago, a house party. And I mean, folks, I watched the video and I don't see how you could have even farted. There was no room in the room for a fart. Okay. If somebody actually passed gas, it probably would have knocked everybody out. I mean, it was jam packed. It was mostly black people. I saw a couple white folks in the video, but it was mostly blacks, but again, we're talking Chicago's west side, predominantly black neighborhood. And Lori Lightfoot's condemning them. Wait a minute, Miss Lightfoot, you violated your own stay-home order to go out and get a haircut a couple weeks ago, all because you're concerned about your personal hygiene. I say the same thing now I said back then. If personal hygiene is an issue, it's called a shower. Soap and hot water does wonders. It does a body good. And it's not like that funky ass damn yellow hair of yours. Yeah. If I was a virus, bacteria, or any kind of crud, I'd see that yellow hair and I would run, because believe me, black people are not born with yellow hair, all right? But don't expect people to follow or, you know, to abide by rules that you set if you yourself are not willing to set them or not willing to abide by them. But at the same time, we hear the you know, the complaints that almost as if they're trying to make it sound like the coronavirus is racist because it's affecting blacks and Latinos disproportionately. Well, when I see videos like this, you know, a bunch of black folks jammed into a house or an entire black neighborhood all out in the middle of the street partying, don't be surprised when you have higher levels of infection than, say, the white neighborhoods where people are staying home. They're not, you know, nobody goes outside their own damn driveway. I'm just saying, and that's not being racist. I'm just pointing out an obvious fact here. And I've had people, well, you ain't seen all the pictures of the white folks that don't. No, I've not seen one picture or one video of mass parties of white people other than the ignorant ass damn punks doing spring break and Mardi Gras. But that's a mix of whites, blacks, browns, and so on. I've not seen any video of an entire white neighborhood out in the middle of the damn street cranking it up. Let's get crunk. Not seen it. Bringing It Boy in the chat room says, it was a whitey killer at first. Yeah, it was. It was all white people were getting sick. Go figure, right? And now we've got Nancy Pelosi and health experts. Nancy Pelosi, she's pushing for $2,000 a month universal income. I said the $1,200 a month or the $1,200 one-time payment would open the door for universal income. I said it when they first passed the CARE Act, the $2.2 trillion CARE Act. I said then that was opening the door for universal basic income. We now have Nancy Pelosi and several others in Washington now trying to give Andrew Yang his wet dream. At least he only wanted $1,000. They want $2,000. And if that ain't enough, we got health experts now coming out talking about health from the Trump administration, the Obama administration, and the Bush administration. Health experts from all these administrations talking about they want to pay Americans $50 a day to self-isolate, kind of like jury duty. Many of us ain't seen the first damn check yet. Why don't you wait until everybody's gotten their little $1,200 check, $2,400 for couples, $500 per child? Why don't you wait till everybody in America has gotten those checks first before you go trying to write legislation for more? In the chat room, Tom Steyer is going to be the savior for California's economy. My government hired him. Yeah, you guys live out in California. I remember we talked about that last week. I tell you what, I don't even know how to respond to this. New York, looks like we might get through everything tonight. Did you know that New York had paid $69 million for ventilators not long ago? Yeah. To an engineer with absolutely no background in medical supplies. And they did this after he tweeted it tweet to Trump or whatever in the White House and the coronavirus task force recommending him as a vendor. Here's what it says. New York State paid $69 million for ventilators to an engineer with no background in medical supplies after he tweeted at President Donald Trump and the White House coronavirus task force recommended him as a vendor. I'm guessing that's a typo. That apparently he was trying to tell New York that the president and White House had recommended him. The ventilators reportedly never arrived. New York has since terminated its contract with the man, a Silicon Valley electrical engineer named Yaron Oren Pines and is working to recover its money. On May 27th, as the novel coronavirus was surging through the U.S., Trump urged Ford and General Motors on Twitter to start making ventilators now. Yaron Oren Pines, electrical engineer, replied, "We can supply ICU ventilators, invasive and non-invasive. Have someone call me urgent." That was the tweet. Apparently, he sent to Governor Cuomo. According to BuzzFeed, New York shelled out $69.1 million. 3 days later, for 1,450 ventilators. Well, here's the crazy thing. Back in 2015? I guess it was. New York had the chance to buy something like 16,000 ventilators. But instead, they decided to pay college tuition for illegal immigrants or illegal aliens and such stupid crap as that. So New York's got nobody. If you don't have enough ventilators, they got nobody to blame but themselves. But let's also not forget that of all the ventilators that they received from the federal government since this COVID-19 thing started, they haven't used them all. All the other various medical supplies that they've received since this all began, they haven't used them all. The USS Comfort, the Navy ship that came into New York Harbor, and your tax dollars, Mr. and Mrs. America, went to pay to renovate this, revamp this entire Navy ship into a big floating hospital. Never used it. All of these emergency makeshift shelters that were put up in parking lots and such as that all throughout New York, never used them. Don't you just love how they waste your tax dollars? I'm getting confirmation in the chat room that, yes, it was 2015 when New York passed on the opportunity to buy a bunch of ventilators. It's just, where does this madness end? Someone please tell me, where does the madness end? Well, I've got one thing here I didn't get to tonight, and that was an article that came out a few days ago. That, and I think I'm probably going to tie this in with Sunday's conversation, and that is that we could have potential forced vaccinations. Maybe. We don't know yet. It does appear that it's a possibility, though. Let me see. Yeah, forced testing. That's what it is. And that was Hamestrap sent me a couple links to some interesting documents and article about the potential of coming forced testing. And that's going to be a topic for Sunday. So I'm probably going to put this one along with it because the title, the headline is Trump Administration to Use New York for Testing Project. So New York may be the next guinea pig on the list. Yes, floating hospitals have existed for a much time, but the USS Comfort was not set up to do what they needed it to do, which is why they had to revamp the entire ship. And they did it on the fly. Just like, again, waste of money. Anyway, all right, Sunday evenings, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. American Renegade with me, Art Underground. Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. Also on Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio, Tuesday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Suzette Live Talk. That would be Bringing It Boys' wife. Always an interesting conversation with her when she's on. Thursday, RZ's Thursday Tunes Show. Every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And also on Ideas of Bulletproof Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, RZ's Saturday Free Speech Zone. However, he sent an email out, I guess it was earlier today or yesterday, I can't remember exactly which. He will not be doing a broadcast this Saturday. I didn't ask why. I just took it for what it was, a notice that he wasn't going to do a broadcast this Saturday. So, he's not quitting. He's just, I sent him an email. What are you quitting? He said, no, I'm just not this Saturday. Apparently I guess he's got things to do and it happens. But, so there will not be a Saturday Free Speech Zone, but there normally is. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for tuning in this evening. I hope it's been insightful and informative. Please take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up, speak out, and let your voice be heard. I'm Art Underground for American Renegade. Be safe out there. It's time for ice cream.
Now you're gonna make it, you're free.